Mrs. Nadezhda Azgikina, thank you so much for joining our program. Executive Secretary of the Russian Union of Journalists and Vice President of the European Federation of Journalists. Just before we start this discussion, you told me that you still demand justice for cases like Anna Politkovskaya case.
Yes, journalists and journalist organizations know that relatives and Novaya Gazeta and journalist community have not been satisfied 100% with investigation and results of this investigation, because masterminds, those who are behind this murder, are not announced, are not punished. And we think our duty is to demand proper investigation and punishment for those who violated journalist rights. Who are behind the assassinations and clear deaths and all violations of journalists' rights, which are unfortunately practiced in Russia and in many countries as well. And recent violence against journalists in the world is one of consequences of war on terror, by the way. It's unprecedented level of violence, all possible kinds, from intimidations, surveillance, and all other kinds of pressure to killings. And according to UNESCO and the International Federation of Journalists, very small percentage has been investigated all over the globe. And Russia is not an exception, unfortunately. But I am from Russia. We think that it's our tragedy, it's our shame that we have so long list of killings and all other acts of violence against journalists which have not been investigated. And unfortunately, public attention to those cases is not enough. I think it's also the origin of the fact that investigation was so slow, not perfect, or didn't exist at all. I think that pressure from above, pressure from people, from the audience, is crucial.
Mrs. Azgikina, just before we started our discussion, the OSCE representative of Freedom of Media, Dunya Mijatovic, deplored in a press release the decision of the Russian authorities to include the media NGO Glasnost Defense Foundation in the register of foreign agents. My question to you would be, how many other NGOs have been labeled as foreign agent, and how has this changed the media landscape in Russia?
I do not remember exact figure, but more than 60 or probably 70 already different NGOs have been put into this list of so-called foreign agents. I participated in a court session a couple of days ago in city of Voronezh, defending one of our closest partners, Mass Media Defense Center. This center supported thousands and thousands of Russian media and journalists all over Russia. People and media with different orientation, political position, they never have been involved in political competition, but they just did their job, and probably they did the job what governmental agencies didn't do, to educate and to protect journalists and the media. I think it was a big mistake. I witnessed at this court session. I do hope, I am an optimist in general, that this practice and this legislation would be changed. Our Council on Human Rights and all our colleagues, we applied several times, and everybody supported it. What about Glasnost Defense Foundation? I think it's a shame. It's one of the oldest and one of the most important organizations. It's a symbolic organization. I think it was very ugly that this information came. I was struck. I was not surprised, unfortunately, because there was some information that probably this organization could be put into this list. But you know that the organization was founded and is still led by a perfect director, journalist, and human rights leader, son of famous, one of the most glorious Soviet and Russian poets, Konstantin Simonov, symbol of literature and journalism of the Second World War, great patriotic war in Russia. And there was his 100th anniversary. So It is coincidence, but moment is, you know, it shows that people in power, people who make some decisions, they do not understand our country enough, do not understand what people really need. I think it was a big mistake. I do hope it would be improved sooner or later. But anyway, it is very sad news.
Mrs. Azgikina, how is it to be a journalist in a country which reinvented the information war?
You know, information war is, my personal opinion, has been reinvented by many people and many players in many parts of the world. To be a journalist in Russia today is not much tougher than to be a journalist in Soviet Union when I started my professional activities more than 25 years ago. I started very early. It's not comparable with Soviet regime, Soviet
in
order
which sense?
At all. First of all, we have no official censorship. First of all, we have diversities. Many people do not identify that we have diversities in Russian media landscape. Of course, mainstream TV channels, they have nothing in common with journalism mostly. It's promotion or an entertainment. But I couldn't see, honestly, big difference between some mainstream Russian channel and Fox channel, TV Fox. So it's global
in
trend.
The USA.
It is global trend, simplification, promotion, and stenography of power, and so on. We have not enough diversities, unfortunately. We have diversities. We have a number of independent-minded media, which doesn't mean that all of those private media are really independent-minded. I could give you examples. I know that we were talking about private and governmental-supported media. Unfortunately, we have only one formal public media, public broadcasting channel, which is very small, and most people could watch us on internet. But many private media,
Is there public for those private media?
Yes.
Enough to exist, to continue
you
to
know,
work?
You should... Russia has some special details in practice of media market. First of all, market is not transparent, and market is very strange because the main player doesn't mean associated with the state or private. They got big support from authorities in different ways, and media and market of advertisement is not transparent. Some independent-minded media have problems with advertisement because advertisers wouldn't like to get
associated with
something. And many private media, they make even more ugly and stupid propaganda than governmental ones. So, and some governmental newspapers provide some serious and quality stuff about domestic politics, for example. Even Российская газета, which is a voice of Russian government, 100% subsidized from the budget as a governmental voice, has very deep analysis of Russian economy, migration politics, and different stuff. So it's not that easy. There are independent voices in many Russian regions, in Moscow as well, but unfortunately the influence on general public is limited. Unfortunately, many independent voices are not connected with each other. Unfortunately, Russian audience is not that much interested in media issues and the freedom of media and civil freedoms in general because of hard economy, because of this general passive approach, which I think is real disease of our society.
You have mentioned the lack of diversity in Russia, and I would say that this applies also in the political landscape. It is a lack of political diversity. What prevent the political opposition to convince a larger proportion of the public and become therefore more significant on the political scene?
You know, I'm not a political analyst, but as a journalist, I could say that first, diversities in media Russian media is much more interesting than in our political landscape. And unfortunately, many gifted and educated and decent people wouldn't like to go in politics. They prefer to go to business, to some cultural projects.
But the country is run by a political elite.
That's why not the best people sometimes go to political decision making. And I hope it could change in some time. I hope that younger generation would make their choice. Russian opposition is puzzled. I'm sorry because I had strong sympathy to Yabloko party. Yabloko party is not proactive enough, I should say. They do some interesting stuff, but many people have no idea about them and do not take part in any political activities. I do not think that, there are analysis of our experts that there is no chance to see more diversity in Russian political landscape in the nearest future, this year, for example, or next year, because many people in Russia just are focused on their everyday problems. So they are not
interested in the future.
They could be interested in local politics much more than in general politics. So they, give this to somebody else.
My last question, Mrs. Azgikina, and please be so concise as possible, about your cooperation with the Ukrainian journalists. I know that you run, you are the Russian representative of an association of a cooperation between Russian and Ukrainian journalists.
We are very happy that we have this dialogue, which for today is the only dialogue between professional organizations and all other intellectual organizations between two countries. We started before crisis, of course, and we have regular meetings.
Of course. Otherwise, there would be no dialogue.
I couldn't say that, but we had joint projects, we had good cooperation, we had fantastic plans together before
crisis. With Crimea journalists?
Crimea journalists do not participate enough in our dialogue, but we were happy that during Crimea referendum, Russian Union of Journalists, Ukrainian Union of Journalists, and Ukrainian Trade Union of Journalists established a hotline for those journalists who cover referendum. So those, and we supported several international journalists together. It was important. We go on. We do hope that we could bring our colleagues to new stage of dialogue, and we are thinking about real bridge between
the
professionals.
Two
we do not deal with politics. We do deal with professional issues. And it's important to help people to elaborate a way to the future.
Mrs. Azgikina, thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you very much.